Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chris Mullins with the Bot Framework team, and we've got a little bit of a rough time slot here, the final day of a conference during lunch, so I really appreciate everyone who's here taking the time to come out and say hello today. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about bots and everything that's new in the Microsoft Bot Framework. But first off, I wanted to talk about the fact today, at Build, we're a year old. And in that year, we have seen explosive growth. We've got well over 100 new features that came in this week. We've got millions of people who use our platforms every day. We've got thousands of companies building bots. And the transaction rates we're seeing would need a few more zeros to show up on there. So we have come a long way in a year. And that's thanks to people in this room. And it's thanks to all the bots that people have been building everywhere. So one of the questions, why have we seen such popularity? What is it about what we're doing that has been so popular and so transformative? And the answer is the bot itself is really engaging, right? Bots are adaptive. Sometimes you can talk to a bot. Sometimes you can type to a bot. And other times you can use things like adaptive cards to touch things on the bot. So it's really good about taking a user interface and bringing it to where the user is on whatever canvas they're already on. Doesn't matter if that canvas is something like Skype, or Bing, or Facebook Messenger, or our web chat controls, or Teams. There's all these canvases people can use, and the bot changes. It's dynamic, it's adaptive, so people like to engage with it. So I'm going to take you on the tour. For those of you who already know the Bot Framework portal, there were some changes this week. I'm going to give you a quick overview. For those of you who don't know and haven't seen this before, I'm just going to kind of walk through very quickly some of the things that are new. So over here, has anyone here been to botframework.com before? Excellent, lots of people, that's great. So one of the things we've done, you can come to our landing page here, and right away, smartbots.here. That right away will take you to our new documentation pages. We have hundreds of new articles. We have created an entire team who all they do now is build docs for bots. That was probably our single biggest requested feature, is how do we communicate the story? How do you get started? How do you integrate feature X and feature Y and feature Z? How does language understanding work with your bot? So we have really doubled down on that. I'm going to show some demos of the new documentation here in just a minute. So Cortana, has anyone here been to the Cortana presentations this week? So we lit up a new channel this week called the Cortana channel. So anyone who has a bot now can integrate with the Cortana channel and reach 145 million users, which is a really large canvas of people who are sitting on their desktops, they're on their phones, there's all kinds of great modalities here. So I wanted to show you a few more things. So here we have bots. Once you sign in, you can come to My Bots, and you see a list of things. And from there, if you click, you'll start seeing things about your bot. So this is one of our bots. This is TestBot. So by design, it has things going wrong with it because we're constantly monitoring everything. And one of the things I really wanted to show here is, first off, for those of you who haven't seen it, you can just talk to your bot. You can say, help. Up comes a card. I can touch it, which will give me things. I can come over here to the Analytics tab. And we may have to wait a moment. We have introduced analytics this week for bots. So you can start to see things like what kind of users and retention rates are we seeing? How many times has a user who sent the message come back to me the next day or the next day or the next day? And this is a test bot, so different accounts every day pretty much. But you can start seeing what kind of users am I seeing across channels? You can see message rates across channels. We very much dipped our feet here into how we get started bringing analytics to bots. I think there'll be a lot more to come in the future, but this is a great place to start. And to integrate that, all you have to do is come over here to settings, and when you configure your bot, you just plug in your Azure Application Insights IDs. So all this data is yours, right? The analytics is just a view over the data that's already owned by you in Azure Application Insights. So the other thing is here, let's take a look at GitHub. Has anyone seen the GitHub samples that we have out on the web? I get questions every day, how do I get started with bots? This is a public repo on GitHub that we put a lot of work into. Yes? Better? Excellent. So this is a public GitHub repo that has dozens of samples. How do I send an attachment? And you can just click on it and know they're C#. It'll deploy to Azure. You can start using it. How do I use DirectLine? How do I use the state APIs? How do I use cards? How do I integrate Lua? So all these samples are out there for you to play with. They're in both Node and C#. This is all publicly available. You can also, our GitHub page itself. So our SDKs are open source. There is a C# one. There is a Node one. You can, I clicked on the button, actually. There we go. There we go. So we have a very active community out here. There's issues here every day. We just released the 3.8 SDKs across our platform earlier this week. You can come out here, and if you're having problems or need troubleshooting help, this is a great place to go. Another resource is Stack Overflow. For those of you who need help with your bots, you can just post there and tag your post with bot framework. And we have a support team who can engage and help. All right. So something that comes up a lot, when I try to explain to my mom what a bot is, to her it's a robot. That's a different story. But to folks in this room, a bot really is just a REST endpoint. Right? There's some very specific protocols involved. We have Swagger files that define what does our DirectLine API look like. And if you are brave, you can start with a Swagger file and implement that yourself. But it's much easier to start with our SDKs, which will emit everything in the right formats. You can integrate Lewis, you can integrate all of our intelligent tool suites, and you can also connect to our channels, which in turn are just really REST endpoints at the end of the day. So a bot is a very straightforward piece of code. It runs best on Azure, but you can build bots that run and host with our tooling in your own data centers, in your own clouds. So the bot framework itself is a connector for connecting your bot to all these other channels. How do I connect my bot to Facebook? How do I connect it to Bing? How do I connect it to Cortana? Skype for Business, all these channels that we have. So when you build your bot, one of the promises we make is you can take that bot and that content and get it everywhere you want it to be. And we put a lot of work into doing that. We're going to be talking about adaptive cards here in a minute, which helps a lot with that. We have all kinds of great formats. We have speech integrated now. We have all kinds of things to help make it easier for you. So some of the things we're going to show today for the next hour, we have put lots of work into our SDK. We have added speech, new dialogue management, especially to help with speech. We've made the debuggers better. And we've added this thing called a channel inspector so that you can start looking at, hey, when I want to take my bot and expose it to the SMS channel, which features will I see? When I want to expose it to this other channel like Teams, what will I see? So we can also take that and say, take my bot to Cortana. And when you want to start adding user experiences to your bots, adaptive cards is something that we put a lot of work into. You saw it in the keynotes earlier this week. There's actually a session going on right now about adaptive cards. Adaptive cards is bigger than just us. We're actually partnering with third parties like Kik and perhaps some others coming down the line to help bring this a little more broadly. I've got a whole section on adaptive cards we'll talk about in just a minute. Analytics, you've already seen. Controls, we have things like location controls you can start integrating in. I'm going to show you some of the cognitive services demos in just a minute. So the single biggest thing, I already alluded to this, that was asked, how do I get started? How do I get help? How do I build better docs? So we have done that, and I am going to give you just a second here. Let's come over and show you some of the new documentation. Let's see if I can get this zoomed in correctly. Is that readable on that projector? A little small, but. So we are integrated into the complete Microsoft Docs portal now. So our documentation is side by side with things like Azure, C#, and all the other platforms that we have. And you can come over here, and let me show you some examples. So here is the C# documentation. Let me make that a bit bigger for everyone. So by integrating into the right portals, we get everything. We get some of the simple things that people like, I like. We get theme support. We can come over here and say, this is an article about how to manage dialogues with Node. But this same article exists for .NET as well. So as soon as I do that, this is the same content, but the .NET flavor of that content, the .NET profile of that. And this is something we can do across the board whenever there's differences between the two. You can also come over here and filter. You can say, show me the topics on dialog management. You can search. So we have docs across the board. Here's an article, fully public, how to add adaptive cards to a message. And you can see here is some C# content. I'm sorry, yeah, that's Node content. But and you can see all the different things you can do here. So we have, I believe it's 12 channels today. Skype, Teams, Bing, Direct Line, Telegram. And we've added three more. So Cortana is how you can go ahead and take your bot, add voice to it, and now have it show up on the Cortana canvases pretty much everywhere. Skype for Business was one of our very highly requested channels. So now you can build a bot that's exposed to Skype for Business. Now, this gives you line of business bots. They're really great for companies, and it's all centrally IT managed, and there's integrated auth with that as well, so you know who you're talking to, which is a really nice point of Skype for Business. And Bing Business Bots, which I'm going to show here in just a second. So imagine, if you will, you've built a bot, and maybe you're a restaurant, and you want, when someone searches for your restaurant on Bing, for someone to be able to just click it and say, chat with. And without leaving the canvas, without coming to a new page, without making the user change context, up comes a bot. That's what Bing Business Bots are. And you can do that with your own bot just by connecting it to the Bing channel and publishing it. We've also added the ability with Bing to search. So I'm going to show in just a second. You can type in top bots on Slack, top bots on Cortana. So we can do all these different search terms, and you can see how they show up in Bing. So there's a nice way to find bots and do bot discovery there. So let me show you what that actually looks like. Right. So this is a live query on Bing.com for Moksha, which is an Indian restaurant that happens to be in Bellevue. And notice sitting here is chat, which I can click. And let me, is that readable? That's a little small. So I can ask this questions like, do you have Wi-Fi? And it will answer that question, say, yes, we have Wi-Fi. What else would you like to try? And it gives me back a card, and I can start touching and kind of walking through. Are you kid-friendly? Do you have gluten-free options? This is a bot sitting literally on the Bing canvas, right? And that is a really nice thing, because you just took your bot, your business, and you extended your brand to this huge canvas with millions and millions of users using it every day. So this is what another bot, so Vishwak will be up here a little later demoing bots. This is a bot he built. So he built the Contoso Cafe bot. He registered it with Bing. It shows up, and you can just chat with it right here. This isn't necessarily a restaurant bot like you saw, but I could reserve a table here. I can do all kinds of things. So it's a very compelling canvas. You can also say things like top bots, which gives me a nice list. And you can scope this down quite a bit more, because you do have the entire power of Bing here. You can see these across particular channels. You can scope this to sport bots or whatever topic you want. And this crawls the web. It looks at all the indexes and gives you a nice fresh result across the board. So when you build a bot, one of the strongest points of it is it adapts to where the user is. And what that means is it's not always typing. You know, I come from a much older background where bots are IRC or XMPP or maybe even ICQ bots way back when. Bots have changed. Bots now, users are expecting, depending on the canvas they're on, to get nice, rich interactions. They want to be able to touch things. They want to have drop-downs. They want to be context-aware. And having to type everything doesn't work very well sometimes, right? If I'm driving my car down the road and I have to reach down and start typing on the keyboard, best case, I'm going to get a ticket. Worst case, it goes horribly wrong. So adaptive cards are something that we've done that says, I've got a card. You need to find that card in JSON. And then it gets rendered appropriately for each of the canvases so that it looks like it belongs on the Teams canvas or the Skype canvas or the Bing canvas. And by doing that, we have kind of isolated you from having to deal with that. You can also put SSML in this, which is a W3 standard for speech, so that when you're on a headless device, like a car or perhaps a Cortana device, you can tell it what to speak, because no one wants that card read word for word. But you can define, you know, the weather tomorrow is rain as SSML, and off that goes. So let me show you some of the really nice things about adaptive cards that have really made me, eight. That was someone who really liked adaptive cards. So here we have an adaptive card. Is that readable? So on the left is JSON, right? What you do is you take a JSON format, and this is all public on GitHub. This is an open source project. So you can define what your card looks like, and then in real time over here, it will show you a rendering of that card. So this is what this particular card looks like in Teams. If you want to see what it would look like in Skype, it's going to get rendered just like that. If you want to see what this would look like rendered as a Windows Live tile, it's going to show up like that. One of the ones that I've always liked. What's it going to look like when it pops up under Windows down the line, right? Because your bot can start to integrate with all these different things. Some are now, some are coming sooner. But this technology lets you do all that. And you can see here just a whole bunch of examples. If I come over here to the samples, we can look at what would a flight update look like, what would a calendar reminder look like, what does a large weather card look like. So let's come back to try. So this is a weather card. And we can even go so far as to say, if you sent this over SMS, what would it look like? And because we can render these things server-side or client-side, in the case of SMS, we can actually render that to an image and push it down the channel. So you're not stuck sending text back. You didn't have to custom render that. So we have native renderers for these that run for HTML, for a whole bunch of canvases already. This is open source. You can add these things to your projects right now. It's a technology that for building bots is really kind of opens the doors and lets me expose my bot to a lot more channels very quickly. All right. So you just saw that. Has anyone ever wanted to take payments in their bot? Maybe you're trying to sell something. Maybe you're searching for Scott Guthrie's red presentation shirt. So you can go to the Microsoft Seller Center, sign up for an account, and we have all the docs and everything you need to get started taking payments through your bots. And we're using Stripe as our payment processor now, which is available pretty broadly around the world. You can read all kinds of stuff about how to integrate this with the bot framework, which channels this works on. It's a really nice opportunity to, as you build a bot, how do I start monetizing this? Because as you're trying to build brand value, and you can very easily imagine scenarios where someone has searched for something on Bing, your bot has come up, and here's a mechanism to purchase that. So this is a means by which, without having to leave context, the user, you, can close that transaction. Has anyone here built bots previously using just speech as a mechanism for interaction? So in the last year, our support for speech was nascent, I should say. With the advent of the Cortana channel, though, we've really had to drive speech across our entire ecosystem. So we've added speech to our protocols. We've added speech to our SDKs. We've had to revamp our dialogues to deal with speech a lot better, because it turns out when you give someone a card, it's very predictable what the options are, but when someone talks, they need things like synonym support. So maybe I said the first one. Maybe I said the second to last one. So being able to put some of the synonym support into the dialogue infrastructure has been really helpful for building more better bots. We've gone a step further, though. And if you're using Lewis, which is our conversational modeling, kind of how do I say what my intents are and my utterances, my entities are, if you build using Lewis, we can actually take the model that you do. There's a little checkbox you can check that will now take this model and export it behind the scenes, you don't have to do anything else, to all of our speech recognition infrastructure. So instead of trying to do speech recognition across the complete domain of English, which is a very hard problem, you can say have a closed list in your bot. It knows what prompt you're in. And now the speech recognition is against a much smaller domain of things. So speech priming is what we call that, becomes much, much richer. And we're driving that against not just Cortana, but Bing Speech. Further down the road, we'll have that against our custom speech recognition infrastructure. So adding speech to your bots with all the work we're doing has now become a lot better. So it's in Cortana today. It's in our emulators today. And it's in our if you go to GitHub, the current web chat control has it, but it's not published yet. That's a few days from now. Some little issues they're working through. Who here has used Lewis? And those of you who haven't, you just enjoy writing regular expressions all day? So Lewis is our tooling for language understanding. And what it does is it lets us define intents, it lets us type some utterances out, and it brings all the power of machine learning to bear. And that means, effectively, I don't have to write regular expressions all day long, which has been fantastic because I'm not very good at that. So Lewis has been out for quite some time now. And some of the most requested features have all landed this week. For example, one of the frustrations with Lewis is you haven't been able to have a production in the staging slot. Has anyone here been hit that particular issue and tried to train models against live production data? As of today, that particular problem now has a solution, which is really nice. We've had lots of requests for more languages and dialects, so we've been adding those as quickly as we can. We've also had a lot of requests that the limits in Lewis were just too low. There weren't enough entities, there weren't enough intents, so those numbers are much higher now. We've also added pre-built domains. Those that actually came in last night is my understanding on that. And I'm going to show you in just a few minutes some of the new features in Lewis, like lists, like recognizers. We've added spell checking. We've added semantic dictionaries, all kinds of nice integrations here. So, has anyone played with pre-built domains yet? It's only been out for a few hours, but maybe someone has. No. So when you get started, maybe you're building a restaurant bot, maybe you're building a stock bot or a music bot. Taking the ontology and coming up with a list of what are my utterances, what are my intents, is actually a hard problem. So in order to help jumpstart you, what we've done is we've created these things called pre-built domains, and they're completely customizable. It serves as a starting point. And rather than being stuck with that, you can add new ones, you can delete old ones, you can change these things around. We have about 25 of these things that came in today, and I would expect to see more over time. So let me show you. Bot analytics, which I showed earlier. All right, let me show you some Lewis stuff. Find Lewis. Hopefully, I am still logged in. All right, so Lewis has a whole new website. For those of you who haven't kicked the tires on Lewis in a while, what we've done is we've created a brand new from the ground up website that's much more user friendly. And equally important, it's backed by a new API. And the API is fully featured. In fact, the UI is built on the API, and you can just bypass it altogether if you want to do things by hand and call the APIs. It's all public, it's all documented. And let me come in here and show you. So let's come to my app. So here's a simple app, build 2017. And I want to show you, first off, you see the higher limits here. For those of you who have been using Lewis a little while, those limits have all been raised up. And I wanted to come, for example, to entities. And I am going to add, let's see here. Which one should we do? We'll add a custom entity. And let's call this car parts. So we can start coming in here and typing things like, if I take an example car part, I can say a fan belt. No synonyms for that one. How about a battery? How about a tire? And now I can come over in here and hit recommend. Slower connection aside. What this will do is on the back end, at least one value in the closed list, hit recommend to get values. So recommend, there we go. So by hitting recommend, I'm getting lists. Let me zoom in on that, my apologies. I didn't realize it was so small up there. And this is going to start to give me, it's hitting a knowledge graph on the back end saying, what are some things that we think are related to this? And you can see, I didn't have to type in alternator or water pump or charger, but I got them all. So let me add a few of those. Make that a bit smaller here and just say add all. You can also start adding things like synonyms, like perhaps alternator, and it's not quite true, but let's say a synonym for an alternator is a generator. All right. So now I can come over here. Let's train this. Let's say train. And I can say, what kind of tires do you have? And what's supposed to come up, do you have a generator? Well, I'm doing something wrong. But what usually happens here is that list, it will recognize not just the things I type, but the synonyms. And when I get the JSON back, it will tell me everything it recognized and how it got there, which is a really nice little feature of Lewis here. So you can also come over, wanted to make sure I showed. Has anyone here had issues with versioning in Lewis? In the past, what you would do is you would export something and maybe re-import it and archive it off in GitHub. We've added the ability to go into Lewis here and clone a version. So here's my version one, I can hit clone, and I can say during demo, and I can choose this is the current version and clone, and it will come up, and now it's right there during demo. So I can get back to this in the future. I can train, I can retrain, I can do all kinds of nice things, which is a fantastic new feature here in Lewis. So some other things I can do. Let's say I built a Lewis model that is the world's best car part recognizer. And companies come along and they want to use it. I don't want to have to export this to them or do any of that. What I want to be able to do is say, here's the endpoint, go ahead and call it, but I want them to pay for it in the context of their subscription because I don't want a huge bill. So what we've done is we've come here and said Lewis models can now be public, and when you configure them in your app, it'll be done under the context of the caller's subscription, so they're the ones who will foot the bill for that, which makes it much easier for developers to build models that get reused. We can also come through here in the collaborator section. I don't know how well that's readable here. And you can type in people's email address, and then they can work on this with you. So it's not just you don't have to take one MSA and share it across four or five people anymore. You can come into Lewis, type in all the email addresses, and you can all come and play in that one model. All right, and then we're going to talk for a little bit about this. Back in October-ish, we kind of dipped our toes into what does platform as a service look like for bots. And what we're showing today is a sneak peek of what we're thinking about. We might be able to show some more of this in the summer. We're looking for feedback on this. This is nothing that's public at this point. But what we're thinking is this is a one-stop shop for building bots. You'll go to essentially dev.botframework.com. You'll create a new bot. And sitting there is your conversational logic. It's very cleanly integrated with business logic. The tooling is a level above anything that we've shown before. And you can go through the entire bot lifecycle all at once there, from design all the way through deployment and operations. It's friendly to multiple personas and not just developers, which is something I think is very important. And one of the things it really does nicely is because it's deeply integrated with Azure and Azure Functions, we're actually able to take your bot and co-locate it with Azure Functions, so you're literally on the same machine. So as you're using Azure Functions, you don't have to pay all these network hop penalties to use these in your bot, which is a huge win across the board. As you get to the point now, as was announced this week, you can run Azure Functions locally on your desktops, you can run them in your development machines. Having them next to your bot is just, it's such a win across in terms of performance, blast radius, if there's outages and issues and correlated failures. And we've also gone down, we've taken Lewis into that same runtime now that sits and hosts functions. We're saying the Lewis runtime, the recognition piece, can also be on the same machine as your bot. So you don't have to worry about what data center am I in for a runtime perspective, what's the network latency getting to Lewis. By putting the runtime, now not the training or the model creation, mind you, but just the runtime with your bot, you get a tremendous win. Again, latency just starts to disappear. You can now have multiple models all at once that you can kind of gather to and see which model is the most effective for this. And this is all about componentization. I'd like to introduce now Vishwak.
Hi, everyone.
One of my coworkers. And he's going to go ahead and give us some live demos.
Great.
Which is, I got it.
Thanks, Chris. Hello, everyone. I'm Vishwak, Senior Program Manager at Microsoft. Really excited to be here to sort of give you guys a sneak peek into Azure Bot Service vNext. Quick show of hands, how many of you did get a chance to stop by at the booths and checked out Azure Bot Service? Few of you. Thank you. Thanks a lot for stopping by. The next iteration of Azure Bot Service is going to provide a one-stop shop authoring experience for your bot. It seamlessly integrates several key pieces of development that is required to build a bot, including language understanding, powered by Lewis, language generation, dialogue, and user experience in one cohesive environment. You will get clean separation between your bot's business logic and conversation logic with a rich runtime that sort of helps manage your bot conversations. Without further ado, let's jump right in. This page should be familiar to most of you by now. But as you will see, when I hit the Create a Bot button, I'm presented with two different options. I can continue to use the Bot Builder SDK to build my bot and register it here, or I can get started to build my bot from scratch in the portal using the Conversation Designer. To create a bot, simply hit Create. I've got this template pre-filled here. So to create your bot, pick a name for your bot, choose your Azure subscription, get your app ID and key from Microsoft, and hit Create. It's that simple. In less than a minute, a bot is provisioned for you in your own Azure subscription. The bot is provisioned as a website in your Azure subscription, and with it, we have a conversation runtime, we have app insights, and we also have Lewis fully integrated and provisioned, for whatever reason that incorporates, sorry. Once your bot is provisioned, I've set it up here, this is where you land. The build tab is where you will spend most of your time building your bot. Like Chris showed you guys, the Channels tab is where you can easily deploy your bot across all supported bot framework channels. The Analytics tab, Chris showed this as well, gives you a bird's eye view of your bot health across all channels. And the Settings tab is where you go to manage your bot. The Conversation Designer has a deeply integrated test option, so you can talk to your bot as you're building it. The output window at the bottom gives you rich static and runtime errors and warnings. We also have an integrated JavaScript console that helps you debug your bot as you're building it. With deep integration with Lewis, the Language Understanding Intelligence Service, all of your bot's intents and entities show up in the intelligence section. Your bot's business logic and your code behind goes in the script section. Your bot itself is modeled after a collection of tasks that it can perform. Tasks themselves are modeled after if trigger, then do action. Supported trigger types are if user says something, which is backed by a Lewis intent, or you can write a custom piece of code and hook that up as a script trigger. Supported do actions are simple response, script action, and a dialogue. Let's go ahead and try and talk to this bot. Just going to say hi. Okay, so what happened here when I said hi, that mapped to the greeting Lewis intent that in turn triggered the greeting task I have here, and the bot came back with a simple response that is going to be one of these three possible variations that I've specified here. Let's try one other thing while we're here. Let's say the user said something that the bot does not understand. Say, Santa wants a blue ribbon for whatever reason. Just like the previous one, this utterance mapped to the non-Lewis intent that mapped to the default, or that triggered the default task, and the bot came back with a simple response. To help demonstrate script trigger and script action, I've got two more tasks set up here. The Q&A task here is powered by QAMaker.ai, which is one of the cognitive services. I've got a script trigger for this task, as you can see here, and here's the function name that implements the trigger. And if you look at the actual code behind for the trigger, I'm simply making a HTTP call out to the Q&A maker service to get an answer. The do action for this task is still a simple response, and all that I'm doing here is simply rendering the answer back to the user. Let's go ahead and try this one. So I'm going to say at help What are your locations? Great. So the cafe board came back and said, we have locations in Redmond, Seattle, Bellevue. And that worked. I've got one other task here that's got a Lewis intent and a script action. As I had mentioned before, with deep Lewis integration, you stay right here in Conversation Designer, and you can model your intents and label entities right here. Most often, conversations are not single shot. Most of the stuff that I showed you guys here was all single shot conversations. To help you model rich multi-turn back and forth conversations with the user, Conversation Designer and Azure Bot Service vNext supports dialogue actions. To help demonstrate the power of dialogue, I've got a few other tasks set up here in this bot. Let's get started by looking at the Get Cafe location. As you can see, this task has a Lewis intent as a trigger and a dialogue action. The dialogue for this task itself is modeled as a structured directed flow. Each conversational state in the flow has its own associated editor where I can specify properties for that state. You can hook up your business logic and code behind to your bot's conversational flow simply by double-clicking on a conversational state. So I have a decision state, and here's where the code behind for that decision state is. Let's go ahead and try this one. Let's say, where can I get coffee? Okay, the bot's coming back and asking me a city. Let's say, how about Seattle? Great, so that worked, and I know where Contoso Cafe Seattle is right now. For each response that your bot provides, you can optionally include an adaptive card. This is the exact same card that Chris was talking about as well. Conversation Designer has an integrated adaptive card builder with a live preview, so you can see a preview of the card as you're building it. Every single bot in Azure Bot Service vNext has a memory, and you can use that memory to store contextually relevant information throughout the course of a conversation with the user. This task here, user facts, helps demonstrate that. And I'm using this to remember users' location and communication preference throughout the course of the conversation. So let's go ahead and try this one. I'm going to say, remember, Seattle as my favorite location. Okay, the bot confirmed that it's going to remember that. Next up, let's take a look at book a table task. Just like the few tasks that we have looked at, this has got a Lewis intent as a trigger and a dialogue action. The dialogue for this task is slightly bit more complicated in that it requires the user to specify a location, date and time, and party size to be able to help book a table. Let's actually try this one first, and then we'll talk about it. I don't want to do that. So I'm going to say book a table. Notice that the bot remembered that I set Seattle as my favorite location, and instead of asking me to give a new location, it just wants to confirm if I want to come into Seattle. So I'm going to say yes. Okay, now that we have the location, the bot wants a date and time, so I'm going to say, how about next Thursday, 3 p.m. We want how many guests? It's just going to be me and my wife, so 2 guests. Perfect. So the bot picked up every single piece of information that I gave it, and then I was just asking to confirm before it books the table. So I'm going to just confirm it. And we went through and booked a table. Structured directed flows are really effective at modeling task completion style tasks. But most often, users are not so structured with their thinking, especially when it comes to conversations as being the input-output modality or the primary interaction model. We humans are very used to changing our minds quite often or digressing. And developing for that very human interaction model can be challenging. But with the power of Lewis and the conversation runtime, Azure Bot Service vNext makes it super easy for you to build great bots that deeply understand the user and easily follow them along as they're changing their mind. Let's see that in action with the exact same book a table task. So I'm going to start by saying book a table for two. As usual, the bot remembered that Seattle is my favorite, but I want to correct this. So I'm going to say, no, I would like to come in to Redmond, and I'm going to provide it some piece of information that it's not expecting at this turn. I'm going to say next Wednesday. So I picked up next Wednesday, and now we are looking for a time. Let's say, how about 2 p.m.? So I picked up every piece of information, although I provided it out of order and still got all of the correct pieces in there. But I'm not done yet. So it's asking me to confirm, but I realize that I want to bring my friends. So I'm going to say yes, but make it 5 guests instead. There you have it. It did pick up that I made a change even at the last minute, and we booked the table for 5 guests. So that concludes the sneak peek into what's coming with Azure Bot Service vNext. And thanks for your time. Back to you, Chris.
Wow. What'd you think? Yeah, it's pretty amazing to use, that's for sure. Thank you, Vishwak. The demo god smiled and everything worked. These sneak peeks, you never know. So, all right. So one of the questions that comes all the time, when is this stuff going to be released? So we are currently targeting end of the year for GA for the cognitive services aspects like Lewis and the channel protocols and the channel services that we have. The Azure Bot Service V2 that you just saw, we don't know yet. It's still being incubated. It's brand new. We're hoping to show you some more of that this summer, but there's a lot of variables in flight there. It's a very complicated service that hits a lot of the surface area. So on the Lewis front, you can see things like patterns we should have soon. We're currently adding more domains. We're adding more kind of multi-developer scenarios around how do I have a team of people work with this. And Lewis itself, currently GA, late, probably November-ish. So with that said, I wanted to talk about some of the things you can do. So to come build a bot, you can start at dev.botframework.com. From there, you can get to the GitHub samples. You can get to the docs. You can get started. You can channel 9. We've got this video up there. There were probably a dozen plus sessions in the last few days around bots. There are certainly dedicated ones around how do I build a Cortana skill with a bot? How do I build a big business bot using the bot framework? There's all kinds of nice things you can do there. The Virtual Academy, fantastic place to get started. We have an outreach group that's doing hackathons on bots kind of worldwide. Those go on constantly. So there's a fantastic ecosystem to get started. There's a great user base. We have support on Stack Overflow. You can file issues through GitHub. We're pretty easy to get a hold of. Everyone's pretty responsive. So with that said, I'd like to open the floor up to questions. If anybody has anything, please step up to the mic, so that any questions that get answered, we can all hear.
Yeah, I have a question. So one of the things that we find ourselves doing over and over and over again is data lookup and data navigation. So we have some SQL database or table storage, and we want to ask the user guided questions to navigate the data hierarchy to get their answer. Are you guys doing anything to sort of automate that stuff we're doing?
So the solution we usually recommend for that is an Azure. So the question was, how can my bot search over the corpus of data that my company has? And one of the best ways to do that is using Azure Search. Q&A Maker is also fairly good with that. If you have, for example, an FAQ or knowledge base or some text files, Q&A Maker can go through those and create question-answer pairs for you that integrate into the bot. Azure Search is probably the best way to do that in terms of there's a rich ecosystem and there's a tremendous amount of power there. It's very multilingual. It does things like stemming. It does all of the analysis. There are samples in our sample repo how to use that right now that will go through. I think there's a real estate sample that you start with, I want to buy a house. And you can keep scoping that down with more and more questions. So, very good way. Sir?
About the adaptive cards kind of language, I was thinking that just recently, kind of XAML has been unified for Windows and mobile. Mm-hmm. So Xamarin Forms and Windows. Do we need yet another way to describe UIs, or could we get on the same page?
So Tom McConnell will be here in a minute. He's one of the drivers of adaptive cards. So there's some differences, though. XAML gives you a very prescriptive way. It's a pixel-perfect layout if you want it to be. That actually doesn't work as well modality-wise for something like adaptive cards, because a goal is to render these things different on each canvas. You don't know how wide. There's just a lot of things that change. So if you want to stick around, Tom will be here shortly. He's currently at the adaptive card session that's going on. Be a great conversation with you, for you to have with him, because the scenarios for XAML and adaptive cards are just not quite the same. So. Question about the Cortana channel. Go ahead.
Why the Cortana channel is available just in the US and not the other countries where Cortana is?
Sure. So the question is, why is the Cortana channel just in the US right now? The decision by the Cortana team has been the first market they wanted to support was ENUS. There will be other markets, I'm sure, coming soon. Their Cortana guys are on the floor. The people who own and own that decision are actually there. There's a gentleman named Gurpreet who can answer that question in fantastic detail. I don't want to put any words in his mouth and get myself in trouble, so.
Okay.
Please.
I think this, can you come, if you scoot over here, this one, I think, yeah.
I got a question regarding the BotVNX platform. What we've seen is JavaScript code and debugging on the web in the browser. Any plans to support C#, Visual Studio development, Visual Studio debugging?
In the V.next?
In V.next.
We have the perfect person to answer that standing right next to me.
I'm going to be crisp. Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Okay, that was the answer I expected.
All right.
Sir.
So my understanding is the whole GUI things is provided by the Azure service?
Yeah.
So in case if I'm using that one to do my design, can I export it and then import into my like on-premise? Is it possible?
Export and import.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Could you ask it again?
My understanding is the whole design framework is using like the service. Like the hosting is in Azure system. If you want to host it locally.
So the Azure Bot service that Vishwak demoed at the end?
Yes, yes. Can I export the whole model and then like supporting my on-premise like environment?
We're not sure what we want to do there yet. This is a sneak peek, and we would be open to feature requests like that. At this point, we're trying to figure out what the service itself should look like.
Okay. So. What you can always do is that you can use the SDKs.
Yeah, but the SDK, I have to do everything myself. It seems like you guys have a very nice a GUI, doing the a conversation design. It's nice to design over there and then export everything, and then I can import into my on-premise environment.
We would love to have that conversation. This is one of the reasons why that we need to make sure that we hit the right notes and we hit the right audience and figure out the right messages. So that's why it's early.
Okay.
And speaking right there was Henrik, who's the chief architect of that Azure Bot Service V.next that you just saw. All right, I'll be here for the next 15 minutes or so if anyone would like to come up and ask some questions. Other than that, thank you everyone for coming. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day.
Thank you.